morning, everyone. I welcome y'all to worship today at Second Baptist Church. I am so glad to see all of these faces, young and old, here in the service today. It's so nice to see some littles back in the place. Thank you for being here. And if you're watching online from home, we welcome you as well and are so glad that you chimed in for worship today. I'm not sure which way y'all came into the parking lot this morning, but if you came in from the east, you might have noticed a huge addition on the east lawn. We have a brand new playground, and it's so exciting. And it's because of all of y'all. So I am so grateful, and these children are so grateful. And when the manager was going over it yesterday with me and giving me the safety protocols, he said, now this is for ages 2 to 12, really. He said, but ma'am, I put lots of extra cement in the bottom so that people your age can do a spin on the tilt-a-whirl too. So I'm not going to fault y'all if y'all get out there and do some spins, just like me. Thank you so much for coming to worship and feeling safe enough to come into the buildings. You guys look great in your masks, and you're safe, and you're distanced, and you're here, and it means something. So thank you. Lauren Martin and Larry are going to be providing our worship today, and it's beautiful, and y'all are about to be blessed. Marilyn Arland is still recovering at home after surgery, so I know that she would love to get a prayer card from each and every one of you to wish her well. She wants to get back, but we're trying not to rush her. It's just good to see you guys, and it's good to be in worship. Let's take a moment. The Lord be with you.
I have been excited for this morning to be together and to worship and to hear the word of God proclaimed through our friend. I was so excited last night, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep for another reason, but I was excited nonetheless. Invite you to join me in these words of faith and invite you to stand as you may be able as we continue to worship together. Hear these words from Psalm 100. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter and sing yourselves into the Lord's presence. Know this, God is God. Of all the things that we can know, we know this. God is God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, taking praise. Thank him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and forever.
Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you for being here with us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being with those in their spaces who could not be here with us, but nonetheless are watching and listening and waiting for your blessing on all of our worship as we come before you this morning. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, we glorify your name for who you are. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated.
We're going to invite the children to stay with your parents, and we're going to have a little children's time in your seat. So, and we've got some visuals you can follow along. So, kiddos, think, and you can whisper to your parents, does your family make plans? Do you have some plans sometimes of what you're going to do that day, what your family might be doing? Sometimes we make some plans. Maybe you had some plans that got changed by this pandemic. I bet you did. We've all made some plans. Well, when I was 13 and a teenager, I had a plan for everything to stay the same. I had two older brothers who were 18 and 16, and I was the only girl and the youngest, and it was a pretty good setup. And I thought we'd just keep it that way. My brothers and I really, really wanted a pool table. So we've got a picture. For some of you, may kiddos may not know what a pool table is, but it's a big piece of furniture and you have these sticks and you hit balls into the pockets. And we thought that would be a great way to entertain our friends at our house, and we really wanted a pool table. So we measured our living room to make sure it was going to fit and reminded our parents really frequently about how great that pool table would be, and it would be a great fit. We had a plan. One night at dinner, my dad said, "We've got a little surprise for you kids." We knew it was going to be that pool table. I jumped up and peeked in the garage. No pool table. What happened to our plan? My dad said, "We're going to have a new baby at our house." That, kids, was not in the plan. My mom was 44. My dad was 46. We were 18, 16, and 13 teenagers. And a baby? That was not in the plan. I was really comfortable in my position as a little girl. And that baby was born. Well, she is pretty darn cute, I must say. That's Kathy Tucker Carroll. But when I had a date one night, she came and said, "You're not the same boy who was here last night, are you?" Sometimes I had plans with my friends. Sometimes, kids, you have plans with your friends, but I got the opportunity to babysit her instead. She kind of messed up my plan. But in reality, God had a better plan. When she grew up, she became my very best friend. And a gift from God I would not trade for a pool table or anything else. God had a better plan. In our Bible story today, kids, you'll probably talk about it with your parents. Sarah had a plan, and her plan was to have a baby. It didn't happen. And when someone told her that she was going to have a baby as an old woman, she laughed. She couldn't imagine that God could have a plan for her. But so often God has plans for us that are so much bigger than we can imagine. So in the middle of this pandemic, when things are not going as you plan, God's got a bigger plan. As our friend John Claypool reminded us, sometimes we live life looking forward and we understand it looking backwards. So let's pray. God, thank you for the children who are in their homes and safe with their families, and for the children who join us today in this worship center. We pray you'll give us eyes to see that your plan is bigger than all of us, and help us to just let go. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. If you would just breathe. Exhale your distractions and inhale your center. Exhale your hurt and inhale your healing. Exhale your brokenness and inhale your salvation. Good and gracious God, teach us to breathe. Teach us to empty ourselves of that which does not belong, that we might be fully filled and belong to you. Our world is now as it has been always at chaos. And we pray to you and look to you as you have always done, that you might speak order to the chaos. Where there is fear, give hope. Where there is hate, give love. Where there is restriction in our lives, we pray for the freedom that comes from you, the freedom of Christ to truly live. We pray for our brothers and our sisters in medical facilities and nursing homes who live with anxiety. We pray that you would give them comfort. We pray for first responders and for medical professionals who have, in the image of Jesus, set aside their own well-being to love one another. We pray that you would give them strength beyond their human ability. We pray for the leaders in our world who think about what it means to be a city and a community. We pray that your wisdom would prevail. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one, the loss of a schedule, the loss of human interaction. We pray that your body, that your presence, that your nearness would facilitate connection and relationship that gives meaning. We pray for churches worshiping in new ways, be it online or in varied modes of singing and plexiglass partitions and distanced from one another. We pray that we would never be distanced from you. We pray for sisters preparing to give the first sermon. We pray that your peace, that your grace, and your love would flow through her. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together in faith. Amen.
That was beautiful in the early service, and even better in this one because I sat in front of you this time. Thank y'all so much. Well, hello again. I am honored to be standing here at this particular point in the worship service today, and I'm still a little shocked at myself for agreeing and volunteering to do this several weeks ago when Jake and I were looking at the summer schedule. And so thank you, Jake, for letting me take your place today. And thank you all for being here, and I welcome and I thank you for your prayers and your grace as we study this scripture together today. I hope that something I say today is a blessing to each and every one of you. Have y'all had many pauper inners lately, especially over the past 13 weeks? Pauper inners is a phrase that I made up. Don't Google it because you won't find it. Pauper inners are people who drop by someone's house unannounced, right? And it's a little bit intrusive nowadays, being a pauper inner. I even found a quote from Aesop that says, "Uninvited guests are often most welcome when they leave." It's kind of true, right? Do you, like me, feel that sigh of relief when someone drops by unannounced and you were able to keep them contained on your front porch the whole time so they couldn't see what was happening behind you in the house? And when they leave, you breathe that sigh of relief? That's me. Well, the other day, I was making some unannounced visits to as many of our 2B families as possible. Y'all see, it's been a long time since I've seen our 2B kids, and I miss them. So I put together some of these summer fun gift bags, and I wanted to drop them off at their houses and see them. That sounds fun, right? It sounds like a fun thing to do. But I was anxious and nervous. I don't understand it. I didn't go alone. I took Mason, our youngest, and Carly, she's one of our childcare workers, and they went with me. But yet, every time I would go to approach the doorbell, I felt this little nerves bubble up inside of me, and I thought, well, first of all, are they going to be dressed for visitors today? Are they going to be annoyed for their doorbell ringing in the middle of the day? And are they going to be shocked that I actually had the nerve to ring the doorbell in the midst of all this social distancing that we've been doing? Our scripture today begins with these three gentlemen approaching Abraham and Sarah's house. It's these pauper inners that are coming by their home, and Abraham doesn't know them. They just happen to be passing by, or so it seems. And immediately, Abraham jumps up and turns on the hospitality. He offers them some water, invites them into the shade, and washes their feet. And he doesn't stop there. He runs inside the tent and asks Sarah to use their finest flour they have to make up some bread. And then he runs out to the field and picks this choice calf, has his servant prepare it. And then when the food is ready, he serves these visitors, and he stands by as they eat. This hospitality is a gift that Abraham offers to these three strangers. I mean, it was a hot day, and I can picture him, after a long day of chores, he finally had the opportunity to sit down in his tent and take a break. And in 1 Peter, I found this week when I was studying, chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Without grumbling, being annoyed, without complaining, offer it with joy. Abraham is honored to serve these men, and this is such a beautiful example of how God shows up in our lives and gives us the chance to show our love and our hospitality. I mean, instead of closing the flap and pretending that he doesn't see them as he walks by, he runs to greet them, serves them, and becomes a blessing to these visitors. But now I wonder, as I was studying the text, I'm hoping that Sarah might be just a little bit like me. I'm wondering if she did some grumbling. Maybe she was annoyed a bit that he asked her to fix up the bread and do the work, and then she's not even invited out to visit with the men. And I think this hospitality is a role for the church. And y'all, the people of 2B show so much love and grace through your hospitality, and you do it so well. Chris and I have raised our boys here at 2B, and they often talk of a woman named Sammy Corley. Sammy's one of the most amazing women I've ever met. She is a member here at Second Baptist, but now she's physically unable to attend church. But when Sammy was active here at 2B, she would stand at that welcome, and she had this gift of making everyone and anyone who popped into the doors of the church feel as though they were honored royalty. It was amazing, and she did it with such love and such grace. And then she would send prayer cards to the boys and to everybody, but it wasn't just a simple prayer card. She'd add these extra stickers and just add this little bit of touch of love that our boys still talk about to this day. Abraham goes out of his way to welcome these guests with love in much the same way that I've seen Sammy do and several of y'all here at Second B. About 9 years ago, our family was in the process of moving from one house to another in Lubbock. Our old house, the new owners were ready to move in, but the new house wasn't quite ready, and so we didn't have any family that lived here in town. So Chris and I packed up the boys and all of our stuff, and we moved into the extended stay America for quite some time. It was memorable, to say the least. The boys refer to that time as our survivor living. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Survivor, but we watch it without fail. And on Survivor, they cook all this rice, and that's all they eat. And that's pretty much what I made in the hotel, was rice and something simple, and they called it survivor living. And word got out around the church that we were staying at the hotel, and lots of you invited us into your homes for dinner. And it was so beautiful. In fact, at one of the houses, we cooked dinner, and then we decorated Christmas cookies. And it became a tradition that we continue year after year, and the boys still look forward to it. Do you see how God just pops in when we share hospitality with others, and then that love and those relationships grow? God also teaches us by popping in when we least expect it in the faces of strangers we don't even know. Can you guys imagine? Can y'all imagine right now in the world how much better things would be if we actively sought the face of God in each person we met? In the Bible, it says in Genesis 1, verse 27, that God created mankind in his image, male and female. This means that every person you meet bears the image of God. This means that people who don't look like me have God's face, that people who don't talk like me especially, and people who don't even believe the same way I do bear the image of God. If we just thought about that every time we met a person, that you're looking at the face of God, isn't it so much easier to love that person instantly? As I've read over this scripture and many times in preparation for today, I'm so captured by the suggestion of the Trinity that appears in human form before Abraham in this story. Y'all, we're getting this really cool glimpse of what's to come in the Trinity in the Bible, and it's just so beautiful. I just love the way the text bounces back and forth between the plural and the singular in this story. And let me show you. In verse 5, it says, "Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." And in verse 9, "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. It's just so beautiful that they're all three speaking in unison, and it just happens that way. And then it gets even more powerful when the tense switches to the singular, like in verse 10. "Then one of them said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son.'" And in verse 13, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Will I really have a child now that I am old?"" And then finally in verse 15, "Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, 'I did not laugh.' But he said, 'Yes, you did laugh.'" I kept thinking as I was reading through the text, studying it, like, first of all, how did they decide which one was going to be the he? Did it bounce back and forth between all three of them? Did they each get the chance to be the one? I wish we could dig deeper into that and know the answers to that story. Can y'all think of experiences in your life where God has revealed himself to you in the faces of others? God just pops in our life when we least expect it, and that's when all the magic happens. The summer before my sixth grade year, I was attending summer band. I'm a flute player, as y'all know. And my grandma, who lived in Wisconsin, was staying with us, and she was dropping me off at the school, and she said, "Cheryl, when band practice is over, go to the office and use the phone and call me and I'll come pick you up. She told me I had to go to the office to use the phone and call because we didn't have cell phones back then. I know that's hard for some of these people in here to understand. So when practice was over, I went into the office and I called home and my brother answered the phone. He said, well, Grandma's taking a nap right now, so I'm gonna need you to go ahead and just start walking home. Okay, so the school I attended was in the middle, Canyon Vista was in the middle of this beautiful canyon, and in order to get to my street, you had to walk up this really steep hill. So I started out on my way, when all of a sudden, this car comes over the hill, and it's kind of this green, old, clunky-looking car, and he stops right next to me, and the driver kind of has shaggy hair and scruffy facial hair, and he rolled down his window, and he said, get in the car. I'll give you a ride. You need a ride? And I was kind of petrified and stood there and didn't quite know what to do, and he urged me to get into the car. And finally, another car, I don't even know where it came from, appeared right behind this man's car, and I can't tell you what the car looked like. I don't remember, but I do know that the driver was this most beautiful black woman with long, flowy hair, and she had beautiful, piercing eyes, and she stopped right there, and she rolled down her window, and she said, baby, do you know that man? And I said, no, and kind of shook my head. I was 11. I didn't know what to do, and I said, no, and she said, you're not going to get into that car. I'm going to stay right here with you, and it's going to be okay. And y'all, it was. Immediately, I just felt this peace kind of wash over me, and I knew that I was safe. And the driver in the car in front of her got mad and frustrated, and he drove off in the other direction, and all was well. And then all of a sudden, you can see, coming over the hill is my grandma in my parents' station wagon coming to pick me up, and everything was great. Don't you see that when we least expect it, God just pops in right there where we need him? And for me, this time, it was in the form of the most beautiful person that I'll ever meet. So now we come to my most favorite part of this story. It's Sarah's scene, I like to call it. I believe in this particular part in the story, God is showing us that God loves humor as much as we do. I really wish that I had a bird's eye view of Sarah. Positioned, can y'all see her? Positioned at the edge of the tent, kind of straining her ear. She wants to hear what is being said between the visitors and Abraham. And my guess is that she sensed that this was a pretty important surprise visit by these pauper inners. And I bet that she might have still just been a little bit irritated that now they're out there talking and having a good time and she's stuck in the tent and she had to do all the cooking and cleaning and she wasn't invited to the party. And I am certain that she was not expecting to hear what these men had to say to Abraham that day. And as I was reading the story several times, I began to think, I don't even think that they were really there to talk to Abraham. I think these men were there to speak directly to Sarah through Abraham. You see, she had wanted a baby for so many years, and her time for motherhood has passed. And then she hears this man say that she's going to have a baby. And she laughs to herself. But she laughs loud enough for these people to hear. And I bet that she caught herself off guard a little bit. And then in the text, you can see God's humor right here when it says in verse 15. No, Sarah says, no, I didn't laugh. And the Lord says, oh, yes, you did laugh. It's almost to me as if God is winking at her with this smirk on his face when he says, oh, yes, you did laugh, right? And it just makes me smile. And it shows us that laughter is sometimes exactly what we need at the right moment. March the 13th, 93 days ago, y'all, everything changed, didn't it? This was about the time that we learned that schools would go to distance learning and church would go to online and all travel would pretty much come to a halt. And all of us have had to adjust to this new normal in our own different ways. And I've heard from several friends and family who have expressed so many different levels of frustration and anxiety. And the same goes for the Gallerno house too. First of all, we didn't know that Zachary was going to be finishing his freshman year at Baylor in Lubbock. We didn't know that all of Chris's weekly travel was going to come to an end and he would be home every day all week long. And that was beautiful, though, by the way. I really enjoyed that bonding. Since he's sitting right there. And we didn't know, we didn't know that we would be cooking every single meal at home forever, right? That's something that struck us. We did a little grumbling ourselves. But luckily things worked out. We are currently living in another temporary home while we wait for our new home to be built. Chris likes to refer to this house as the chateau. It makes things sound a little bit better while we're living there. And it was all fine. It was all fine until everything changed. We experienced lots of different emotions, but one of the highlights that happened through this time has been family mealtime. And our boys have really stepped up and become some pretty great cooks. And Mason, our youngest, has become the self-proclaimed grill master. And he helps do all the meals on the grill. And a couple of weeks ago, when one of those big storms all of a sudden popped up in Lubbock, Mason was grilling the supper. And he said, "It's fine. It's fine, Mom. It's just sprinkling. It's not a big deal." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "But I'm going to come inside and put on a raincoat." So he comes inside the house. And I look out the back window, because I can see the grill. It's propped up against the house. And it's a gully washer. Like, it is pouring buckets outside. And all of a sudden, the grill, there's flames just shooting in every direction. So I screamed at the boys, "We got to go out, help me outside, and grab the tongs." So we run out to the backyard. And the first thing I want them to do is help me get the food off the grill, because we've got to preserve whatever dinner is left. So we're trying, and the flames are shooting everywhere, and they slide the food off, and it's growing. The fire is growing up the side of this house and up under the overhang, and I just kept thinking, holy moly, we're going to catch this rent house on fire. So we had to yank the grill out to the middle of the yard, and I could not get the fire to stop, and the boys tossed me a garden hose. And I finally got it out, and we go back in the house, and we're just completely sopping wet, and we sit down to eat this scorched supper, and all we did was laugh, because that's all you can do, right? I mean, doesn't God just have a way of turning our disasters into delight? Y'all, Sarah laughed. She laughed when she found out that she would finally have a baby. I really kind of picture her saying, "Seriously, God, seriously? After all this time?" She had waited her whole life, and she had just about given up. And then God popped in that day to show Sarah that there's nothing that our God can't do. Even in her unfaithfulness, our God was still faithful. So I realize, as I look back to last Thursday when I was doing the popping in visits to our 2B kids, that there was no need for anxiety or nerves. God showed up, and all the blessings happened. We shared laughter, we shared hugs, we shared love, and it was exactly what we needed to do, and it was a blessing for all of us. And just like Abraham and Sarah, I don't think that we should overlook these opportunities that we just happen to run into. God's going to pop in, and we'll be blessed by what's in store. Let's be ready. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, we're just so grateful for your love. We want to see your face in others. Help us to remember to offer hospitality and not be afraid to laugh. Thank you so much for loving us through our unfaithfulness. It is in your most holy name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we offer ourselves to you today by our presence. And even if we aren't present here, we are present to you wherever we are, giving our lives up to you, inviting you into our lives to be present with us. And Father, we have no idea what we shall be like 9 months from now when we meet again and you meet with us. What surprise will you have in store for us? What new way of doing your work in this world will you call us to? Lord, we know that the challenges we face sometimes make us fear that the time has passed in which we, as people of faith, can have much or make much difference in this world. And yet, if we invite you to spend time with us and listen to you, we know that there is still work that you can do through us. Our time has not passed. You are still the God of our future, and you still have work for us to do. And we'll be surprised at what you can do through us if we are open to your blessing. Now, as we give our gifts, Lord, help us to give them in faith. Help us to give them expecting that you will use them to continue to do your work in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
What an honor and a privilege it is to gather with you in the presence of true love, God, here with us. What an honor and a privilege it is to steal this sermon and keep it forever and always for my own records. Would you please join me in appreciating Cheryl? Beware other church search teams. We know if you're here, and we will dismiss you appropriately. I want to thank you, Cheryl. A beautiful word. Thank you all for joining in worship. I'd like to also thank you, church. Liturgy, the word liturgy means the work of the people. And I believe that you wrote this sermon. You began writing this sermon with Cheryl 20 years ago when her and her family, a wee Evan, became members of our community. It is a work that we're doing together. And to be honest with you, it is the primary way that I've experienced God, is what's happening 20 years later, Savannah, right? That's what real youth ministry is. That's what the body of Christ is about. Not just about what's going on tomorrow, but what's going on in a generation and a generation and a generation. And this, I believe, is the way that God primarily moves. And for you and for your ministry, particularly through Cheryl in this regard, I thank you, Second Baptist Church. Second, the primary way that I know that Christ is real is I have seen Christ in you. In each of you, you have revealed what Christ is to me. And Cheryl, I thank you for revealing another glimmer of what Christ is. Thank you very much. As you go this week, I'd like for you to receive these words given to Abraham in Genesis 12 and in Genesis 15. The voice of the Lord promises to Abraham that I will make you a great nation, that you will have descendants as many as the stars. God says, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to all nations. Go and be a blessing. Amen.